New will be back tomorrow. I'm Dave Cohen. Thanks for joining us. In the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to open up the lunchtime buffet to anything you want to talk about. We can talk about the deployment of the National Guard to Chicago or potentially to other high crime cities like New Orleans. Would you support that? And if not, why not? We can talk about the fact that we have an unprecedented level of hatred and negativity being espoused in our society these days, and what can be done about that, if anything needs to be done about that, or anything else you want to talk about. But right now, I want to welcome in Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend.
Sure did. Thank you, and hope our listeners have as well.
Well, you know, we heard so many times over the last several months that the race for mayor of New Orleans wouldn't really begin until after Labor Day. Well, we're after Labor Day. So,
well,
so what changes? What changes now?
Well, I think what changes is you're going to see more public activity like television and radio ads. You're going to see more debates coming up, particularly debates that are televised. And so it'll be more activity, and I think more voters will take an interest in it as we get closer to the election. You know, the election's pretty close away now. It's only it's not even 6 weeks.
Yeah, and in less than a month, we're going to be having early voting. So,
That's right.
Here we go. We're in the meat of it now, the heart of it now. The polls have been pretty consistent up until now that Helena Moreno has a huge commanding lead, is statistically within striking distance of winning in the primary, with the other two main challengers fighting it out for a distant second place. Now that we're after Labor Day, is there the potential to see substantial or significant change in that kind of character of the election?
Well, we could. It depends upon how these candidates go about campaigning. You know, the first thing we saw was the candidate field taking shape. And there were some potential candidates who didn't run. And then at the last minute, Royce DuPlessis, who had said he wasn't going to run, got in the race and had an impact on the race. He basically knocked out Arthur Hunter as a candidate, and then Arthur Hunter came back and endorsed DuPlessis. And so that was some major changes there that occurred.
And since that happened, Oliver Thomas has fallen to third place to Royce DuPlessis.
That's correct. And DuPlessis's entry into the race, he moved up very quickly. You know, he was not a candidate, and then all of a sudden he had jumped over both Arthur Hunter and Oliver Thomas. Now, his lead over Thomas is only a couple of points, so that's something that could easily shift.
But he's 30 points still behind Moreno.
He is, and that's the problem they all have, that she's close to getting 50% in the polls, and it's really hard for a poll to determine whether she will win in the first primary or not, because it's very easy for her to get the extra 3 points out of undecided and break 50. But on the other, I shouldn't say very easy, it's going to require a lot of effort and luck to do it, but it's still it's not a lot of points she has to pick
right.
up.
Or the undecided don't vote, and we know exactly. The last several elections in New Orleans, voter turnout's been dismally low.
It's been very low, right. Or if the other candidates start attacking her, maybe they can take votes away from her, keep her to under 50, and then whoever runs second makes the runoff, and then it's a new election.
So we're after Labor Day. We're going to see more debates, more advertising, and I'm guessing more negative and attack ads, because if either Thomas or DuPlessis wants to get into this runoff, they really do have to take Moreno down a few spots. And other than promoting themselves, that's the only way to do it, right?
Yeah, and of course, the problem they have, and it's the same problem that the candidates for governor in the last gubernatorial election in Louisiana had, is they have a need. They still have a need to define themselves, because neither Oliver Thomas nor Royce DuPlessis has, in my opinion anyway, fully defined themselves in ways that would be most helpful to their candidacies. So they still have to do that. At the same time, they have to bring down Moreno. And one of the problems that the candidates in the last governor's election had, and they told me this during the election, was that, you know, they were afraid if they attacked Jeff Landry in the governor's race and pulled votes off of him, the votes wouldn't go to them. It might go to one of their opponents. And of course, the current candidates may have some of those concerns as well. The other problem that both the Plessis and Thomas has, and even though they've worked hard raising money, and they have raised a good bit of money, but Moreno has raised more money than both of them combined. So they have to be a little more careful how they spend their money than she does. And they have, you know, a double-edged sword here, as you pointed out, both, you know, presenting themselves and also attacking the front runner. So their task is going to require more money, and she has more money than they do. So that's another complication in the race.
A lot more money than they do. And just because it's after Labor Day, there's no suggestion or expectation that they're about to have some kind of windfall of donations. However, there could be some people now who are getting nervous because they don't want her to be mayor, that they may start opening up their pocketbooks, either Thomas or Duplessis. But she seems to have a pretty good stream of money, too.
That's exactly right. And usually electability is the biggest help in raising money. If people think a candidate can win, they put money there. And so they need to both make progress in their campaign and also show potential givers that they have a real chance to get elected. And that's held back some of these candidates.
You know, we've seen a trend in politics more nationally, perhaps, than locally, but from the presidency through U.S. Senate races to even the governor's race here in Louisiana, we've seen where when a candidate has a huge, comfortable lead or feels like they can only harm themselves by participating in debates and so forth, that they don't. That they choose not to debate, they choose not to give their opponents the opportunity to try and force them into a flub or saying something that can negatively impact their momentum. We haven't seen where Moreno seems to be heading in that direction. Even though she has a commanding lead, may win it, according to the polls, in the primary, she seems to still be willing to participate in forums and debates, and there are several scheduled coming up.
Yeah, that's true. But there is a difference in the campaigns. In the governor's campaign, Jeff Landry had a situation where he didn't want to participate in debates largely because most of the candidates running against him were Republicans. So he didn't want Republicans to be going after him. As well as a Democrat. In this particular case, party isn't a factor because the major candidates are all Democrats. But I mean, I have no idea what Moreno's strategy is, but my guess is she feels like as a candidate for mayor, she can go toe to toe with these other candidates. And she has a lot of knowledge of city government. She's been on the city council for some time and also in the state legislature. Of course, Oliver Thomas has been on the council even longer, and Royce Duplessis has been in the legislature. So they all have enough experience where they should be able to hold their own in terms of knowledge of issues. But I think Moreno's wants to show that she can show the toughness and strength and knowledge that people will want in a mayor, and that she can do it in a debate. So she's willing to take that chance. But I don't know if that's their strategy or not. It may be something simple as, polling has always shown that voters want and expect candidates to debate. And when a candidate doesn't debate, they take a risk of the opponent saying, well, they're weak and can't do it and are afraid of us. And And of course, you don't want to be put into that position when you're a candidate.
Yeah, well, it worked for John Kennedy and Jeff Landry in the last couple of election cycles, that they were able to almost completely avoid debating and still maintain a big lead and win comfortably.
Yeah, it certainly did. But those elections were part of a national Trump, anti-Trump, Republican, Democrat, left, right election pattern. And the local election is really, it's more of a personality contest than it is ideological or partisan, because they're all Democrats.
How much will race play a role in this election, do you think? I think some people are surprised that Moreno has been able to garner so much support and such a commanding lead in a predominantly black city of New Orleans when she's not black.
Yeah, and what's interesting is she has the strongest multiracial coalition in support of her. She's running first among black, at least in the last poll, which was done, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So maybe some things have changed since then. But in the last poll, she was running first among the black vote, first among the white vote, and first among the voters who don't identify as either white or black. So that's a strong coalition, and that's why she's doing so well. But she is running much better among white voters and black voters. She was polling 70% among white voters and 30% among black voters. But on the other side of the coin, Oliver Thomas had almost no white votes, and he was receiving 24% of the black vote. And DePlessis was receiving the same 24% of the black vote, but he did show some white votes at about 10%. You know, those numbers among these racial groups are very, very important in this campaign. And rest assured, the candidates are monitoring that very closely.
How much historically, I know we've heard the mantra, the election doesn't really start till after Labor Day, but how much historically have we seen significant changes in polling numbers pre versus post Labor Day? And based on what you've seen, and you've been doing this a while, like me, based on what you've seen, do you expect to see any dramatic changes in those numbers before we get to the October primary?
Well, you know, we don't know yet, because there are two things, there are two questions that haven't yet been answered. Number one, will there be a tax? And if there are, how effective will there be? Number one. And number two, what will voter turnout look like? Will there be a big differential in racial turnout? You know, meaning will black voters vote a lot more than whites, or white voters vote a lot more than African-American voters? So we don't know the answer to those two questions. And one thing, and I go back to the last governor's election, because there's some similarities here, because you had one candidate who was way ahead and other candidates trying to get in, you know, create a runoff and get into it. And then they didn't have a runoff. But I think you have something similar, where a lot of candidates in the governor's race were holding their fire until the end. A lot of it had to do with money. And I thought, and I think a lot of political watchers thought, that they waited too long to go after Jeff Landry. And people are beginning to wonder the same thing about the mayor's race. Are the candidates opposing her waiting too long to go after her? And will she be able to, you know, solidify her support base? And even though they do go after at the very end, it may not be that effective.
All right, here we are. October 11th is coming quickly. We're after Labor Day. We're less than a month away from early voting. And the mayor's race, you say, will get a little more heated and will get a little more attention as we move forward and get closer to Election Day. Ron Fauché, anything else you'd like to share, as now we are after Labor Day ahead of a New Orleans mayor's race?
Well, I think it's something that voters need to be careful and watch. New Orleanians have a habit of complaining about city politics for 3.5 years and then going and voting for people they don't necessarily like, not that long after the election. So they need to be careful who they pick, and they need to look at the issues that are most important. You know, a lot of candidates right now are talking about national issues that they will have no impact on, as opposed to city issues that they can have an impact on. And I think voters need to be mindful of that.
Ron, thank you. Always enjoy and appreciate your insight. And I know we'll be talking a lot over the next 5 to 6 weeks as we get closer and closer to Election Day. Thank you so much for joining us here on WWL.
Thank you.